Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your Wiretaps Podcast for Monday, April 6th, 2020. I'm joined by Alex Brown. How are things going, Alex?
Very good, Graham, despite the extraordinary circumstance in which we are all living.
Yeah, it's crazy times, but I appreciate you making time to join us and offer your admissions expertise. I don't know, you know, sometimes I think our listeners don't have the full background on us, but, you know, you served 7 years over at Wharton as a senior associate director of admissions. So that always shines through as you kind of offer up advice here, but appreciate you selecting some candidates for us to talk about today. And let's first dive into what happened last week, because it was a really big week. In the admissions world. So do you want to give us a rundown? I know that, we had Harvard, Stanford, MIT, LBS, and others kind of dishing out decisions. What did you see happening over at clearadmit.com?
Yeah, I mean, obviously on LiveWire, it was very, very busy last week, which is great. I mean, lots of activity, lots of people reporting really good news. Saw several actual couples actually getting admitted to the same schools, which I always think is a very, very good thing too, right? But lots of really good activity on LiveWire, and then sort of, you know, some of the community shifting over to DecisionWire actually to sort of share their results and their decision journey and asking questions now about, you know, in terms of, you know, I've got several choices, what should I do, and so on and so forth, and others in the community providing feedback, and then obviously ourselves, including our other esteemed colleague Elliot, providing some additional sort of insights in terms of helping with that decision-making process. But I think that's really cool, Graham, because obviously these folks aren't able to attend admit weekends and admit events hosted by the schools. So to the extent that we can help nurture some of those conversations and help folks make decisions, I think that's a very good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I wonder, you know, I've always felt like when couples apply to business school, you mentioned some couples getting in, that it's kind of an advantage and that you don't, you know, it's the kind of thing you should declare in your file, because, you know, the school recognizes that their odds of getting just one of a couple are much slimmer than if they accept both. So, you know, and actually that maybe we should set up like a dating, Clear Admit dating app or something to allow people to connect before they apply so they can apply as a couple. Yeah. But it is amazing to see that. And I think, you know, obviously it makes people's lives so much easier if you can attend with your spouse, yeah, as opposed to having to split off and go in separate directions for business school.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. And one of the couples, I mean, I hate to disclose it on Wiretaps, but there we go. You know, Kirsten Moss calling up one of the partners and, you know, congratulating them. And, you know, she was on speakerphone to the folks and then happened to then also break the good news to both of them. I mean, absolutely fantastic. Nice. And the emotions running very high.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So as you were saying, though, DecisionWire has really exploded on Clear Admit. And I think you're right. It's always the tool that is popular at this time of year, right? Folks can, you know, post their journey and get feedback on where they should go, or even just share the fact that they've chosen one school over another. People like to do that. But this year, it seems like it's all the more helpful just because, yeah, a lot of these admitted student weekends and even like the local, you know, let's say you live in Bangkok and you've been admitted to Harvard, there's probably some local alumni mixer that they do for accepted students and they're not doing that, right? No. And none of this stuff is happening, right? So DecisionWire is a great place to go, share your results, share your scholarship awards and the kind of questions you're weighing and get good feedback. I've been so impressed with not only your feedback, Alex, but also just, you know, the people on the site chiming in and offering points of view that are, you know, really quite subtle and well-researched. And so I love the fact that the community is kind of helping one another in a pretty difficult time here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's on the horizon, though? Because I know, I feel like last week was the last week of the big round two decisions. So what's up next? Is there anything happening next week?
Yeah, I mean, now we're into round three application deadlines. So next week, several schools, including the likes of Kellogg, Stanford, MIT, Darden, have round three deadlines. And then to factor in, obviously, because of COVID-19, some of these rounds are going to get extended. I think Darden's certainly one of them. You mentioned before coming on air, Tuck's extending its deadline. So schools are starting to be a lot more flexible with their final round deadlines, whether it's the actual deadline itself or when, candidates can submit additional test scores and so on and so forth, given that you can't currently take a GMAT, or you know, you have to take the GRE online and so forth. So schools are trying to be flexible. You have to also beg the question, are they trying to pick up some additional candidates in these later rounds to sort of bulk up their entire applicant pool?
Right. Yeah. And it is interesting in that it's hard to kind of parse out, but some schools have extended their deadline, their third round or fourth round, whatever round it is. And then others have said, well, we're not going to extend. We'll still keep the original round three deadline, but we're also going to look at applications that come in after the deadline on a rolling basis. And in some cases, you know, it's until, like Darden, you said, it's like until mid-July that they're willing to look at apps that come in. And as you correctly point out, yeah, schools are flexible about testing. You can actually apply without a GMAT or GRE score at all if you are one of those individuals who was signed up to take it and it's been canceled because you can't go. Obviously, for them to render a decision on your file, you will have to take the test at some point. But schools are being flexible. They'll let you get in the application materials and then deal with submitting the test later, as you correctly point out. There's just been a whole lot of news. I mean, you know, HBS mentioned that they really want to still have an incredibly international and a diverse class, but that what they're doing is maintaining a larger than usual wait list this season because they recognize there's a lot of uncertainty around visas, around, you know, travel. And so they're kind of going with a larger wait list, which we could see some evidence of on LiveWire when the decisions came out. Kellogg added flexibility by, you know, basically adding that kind of a rolling admissions round. So there's just been updates and we've got them on the website. There's a COVID-19 admissions updates and cancellations page. There's a chart on there which tells you, like, you know, are the admitted students events canceled? Can you go to the campus? No. what's the deal with the deadlines and the GMAT and GRE flexibility? And we've even started to see some schools issue start date delays. So what I mean by that is, you know, when is preterm and when are your first classes if you've been accepted? And so we saw Siebes in China extend the start of their first semester to October the 12th. And I believe that, who was it? I think it's Duke has announced quite recently that their full-time MBA is also going to be delayed slightly in terms of a start date. Now, for the time being, mostly this means, you know, preterm, instead of being at the end of July, early August, may just be shifted a few weeks back and then, you know, classes accordingly. So they're trying to squeeze it in. But I think that's the column on this chart on our website to watch, because I suspect that schools might have to push things back depending on how this virus evolves in the U.S. Market in particular. So we will see.
Yeah, I mean, very troubling times. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Which creates all this uncertainty, and we genuinely just, you know, wish everybody stays safe, and and we've just all got to ride this out together. Schools have got to adapt, and I'd be shocked, Graham, if for instance, the schools in New York don't very in short order announce that they're going to push their start dates back.
Yeah, that's possible.
But we'll see for sure.
Yeah, we'll keep everyone posted. Two very quick housekeeping items, and then we're going to look at some ApplyWire and DecisionWire entries, as we always do on Wiretaps. So the first item is we ran a really interesting survey to kind of gauge applicant concerns. So your concerns about, you know, this whole, the virus and what it means for going off to business school. We're running a follow-up survey that you should be able to find on our website. We really appreciate anyone who can fill that out. That information is vital to us. We'll share it with you as soon as we gather it up. And we're also sharing it with the schools so that they can better understand how to address applicant concerns in this, you know, in these really uncertain times. So stay tuned for that. The last thing I was going to say is Alex and I have found that, you know, doing this podcast is actually it's helpful for us, you know, even though things are crazy in the world, having this moment each week where we sit down and talk MBA admissions is really, it's a lot of fun, and it's a good, it takes our mind off of everything that's going on a little bit. So hopefully that's, you know, we're providing that for you as you listen. Please tell your friends who are applying to business school or thinking about business school, because I'm sure that a lot of people could use a distraction right about now. And so please do. And obviously we're always happy to see reviews that come in and ratings. So please keep those coming in.
Yeah.
Alex, anything else before we dive in and talk about our kind of Wiretaps candidates for the week?
No, I'd just like to echo that last point, because it's been really nice actually to see on LiveWire and DecisionWire, I think this week, or last week, folks posting, you know, I was featured on Wiretaps and now look, I've gotten these opportunities, I really appreciate it, and so on and so forth. So it's really gratifying to sort of close that loop a little bit to see that folks, or at least some of the folks that are featured on Wiretaps are having a successful admissions season.
Yeah.
Hopefully we continue to provide this and continue to help folks along.
Yeah, and I think listening to Wiretaps must increase people's odds of admission, given all that we're seeing happening on the website, all these positive results. So, although one of our featured Wiretaps folks actually apparently dropped an F-bomb in her Harvard interview and was still accepted.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that says, but that sounds like a really interesting story. Yeah. And that person got in, I think, got into both Harvard and Stanford. So congrats to her.
Yeah, I'm not sure she. Just to clarify, I don't know that we featured her on Wiretaps, but she's certainly been quite active on the
site. Okay.
In our community, yeah. which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Excellent.
But you hear these stories, and I think they're really interesting, because obviously you would assume, you know, you're interviewing at Harvard, if you don't do everything exactly correctly, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, we're all human and we all get caught up in the moments. And you know, Harvard is very smart sort of admissions process, like all the top schools, and recognize that sometimes things happen.
Yeah.
The end of the day, this person is clearly a terrific candidate.
Yeah.
And Harvard knows that, and Harvard admits them. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that was a really good story.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dive in and talk about Wiretaps candidate number one. So this is an MBA ApplyWire entry, and this person is looking to start in 2021. They're applying to INSEAD. That's the school they've got on the list so far. And they've been working in logistics and supply chain, hoping to head into consulting after business school. Companies they're looking at are, surprise, surprise, McKinsey, Bain, or BCG. GMAT score 700, GPA 3.5, years of work experience 5. They're currently located in Dubai, but they would like to end up in Africa. And they mention in their note that they've lived and worked on three continents. They've been exposed to and interacted with people of different backgrounds and perspectives, and they've greatly benefited from that diversity. And now they want to pay it forward by getting involved in kind of business development and things in Africa. I believe, if I remember correctly from the comments, this person is actually originally from Egypt, but has lived most of their life in Dubai, where they went to undergrad. So Alex, you had a lot of back and forth with this person. What do you make of their chances at INSEAD, and, you know, just what do you make of their overall kind of profiles, or anything you want to share about them?
Yeah, I mean, I really like this candidate, and one thing I like about this candidate, and this is the same with a number of candidates, is their long-term goal, their goal going out of the MBA, is to go make a material impact in a developing region of the world. And I think ADCOM really liked that versus, you know, obviously a lot of candidates are using the MBA to relocate into the geography where the MBA is being offered. And there's, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But I think in this case, this person's ability to really have impact post MBA is going to be back in Africa, from where they're originally from, in, as you say, in Egypt. So to me, that's an absolute positive in this case. This person's work experience to date looks really interesting. They talk about a couple of projects in the notes and in the comment that where they've sort of turned around significant work effort to, you know, for their companies and so forth. So it seems like their impact at work is strong. And that's a good measure of a strong candidate. So I like that also. So I think a lot to like here. Hopefully, I mean, their goals, maybe they could be fine-tuned a little bit in terms of how they're going to impact in Africa, the sort of Africa creation and development story. So where they're going to have that impact, that would be good. I would also suggest, you know, their GMAT score is good, 700. It's not outstanding. And if they've got a little bit of time in terms of getting their applications together, And if they're looking at sort of, you know, what can we I do between now and, let's say, September in terms of getting ready to apply, that might be an element to potentially go after to improve. So a 700 GMAT is okay. If it's a 740 or a 750, obviously, that's a little bit better. I would say, though, Graham, they're targeting INSEAD. Maybe they need to target a few more additional schools. But European schools generally... is it fair to say, do you think, are less focused on the GMAT test, or do you think that's a little bit of a myth?
No, I agree. I mean, I think if you look at the average, you know, GMAT scores for across top schools in Europe, they're a bit lower. And, right. and I think, yeah, I think there's also not the same cultural yeah. history of standardized testing that you have in the U.S. So I think they're a little less reliant on it. I would love to know the breakdown of this GMAT score. I do think this is an interesting candidate. The one question I had was, as you correctly point out, the goals could probably be fleshed out a bit. And yeah. the fear that I had was, you know, I could see this person easily making the case that they want to go to, like, you know, the Kennedy School or some Woodrow Wilson, some policy school, and go work for UNICEF or, you know, UNESCO or the World Bank, or to enact change in these markets around, like, healthcare and education, which is what they yeah. kind of mentioned being... sectors they're interested in. And so I think that the one thing I would recommend is figuring out a way to tell this story in a way that makes it clear that you need to do this from the business side of things, which is a very, like, valid argument. I mean, I've seen many an MBA applicant make the case that they think they can act, that they can enact more change via the, you know, kind of public-private sort of partnership angle from coming from, like, sort of the corporate side of things. So that's fine, but I want to see more specificity there. And then, yeah, with the GMAT, I just would want to know, like, is it that the quant score is low, or is it the verbal? And that would help me to sort of determine whether, you know, whether they need to take it again. I don't know if this this candidate's male or female. Obviously, women are in more demand in the applicant pool than men are, and so if this is a female, which I think it might be, because the candidate mentions being involved in nurturing and empowering women leaders of tomorrow. So, if the candidate's female, you know, you're kind of less represented in the pool, which gives you more leeway with some of the kind of regular things, like maybe the GMAT score, right? So some of these, there's a whole calculus to it. But I think I would recommend looking at, you know, maybe more than just INSEAD. And also, I don't have a good handle on, like, how easy will the transition be from the current job into kind of MBB consulting. It sounds like it won't be too difficult, in which case INSEAD's probably fine. One-year program, not always a chance to do an internship. But if, you know, if this person felt like they wanted to have more of a transition, then I might encourage, you know, he or she to look at, you know, LBS or some other schools in Europe that maybe, you know, have a track record with Africa or even HEC. You know, there could be other options too.
Yeah.
But in any event, really interesting candidate. And it is nice to see someone wanting to kind of go and do good in a market that needs it.
Absolutely. And lived and worked in three continents. That yeah. always plays very well
yes,
with the European
yeah.
Programs, especially in Seattle.
Yeah, big time. Okay, so let's talk about Wirecap's candidate number two. So this is another ApplyWire entry. Person's hoping to start school in 2021, and they are applying to Cambridge Judge, Oxford Said, and Toronto Rotman. So three schools looking to be an investment banker. It sounds like that's what they're currently doing. They want to kind of stay in that field and target companies like Barclays, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, Merrill Lynch, JP Morgan Chase, and RBC. GMAT score 720, GPA 3.99, and 4 years of work experience. This person's located in Kolkata, which is in India, and they want to end up in Toronto or London after business school. This is an Indian male who earned an undergraduate degree in business from Holt, but also sounds like have done some additional coursework at the London School of Economics, maybe by correspondence, it's unclear. But so they have kind of a main degree where they have that 3.9 as a kind of bachelor's in business administration with a focus on finance. Lots of different activities and involvement. Looks like they were valedictorian and made the dean's list at their undergrad. So, you know, lots to like academically. It gets a little complicated. They've done, you know, done some banking, and they're kind of wondering. They ask a very specific question to us, which was, you know, they've seen people applying with test scores that are better than theirs to these very same schools like Rotman and Said, and they see them getting rejected sometimes. So they're wondering, like, what are their chances? And so, yeah, what did you make of this candidacy and, you know, the school selection, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is potentially a very strong candidate. Absolutely get the applications in the first round. I think that's a very important thing for this person to do. They're going to be part of an overrepresented piece of the applicant pool, Indian Mail, Finance, and so on and so forth. So to sort of, you know, mediate that a little bit, or whatever the right word is, get your applications in early to the extent that you can. So yeah, are people, you know, applying to these schools with higher GMATs getting rejected? Absolutely, because one, they didn't get their applications in early, and two, they didn't make a very compelling case of how, you know, what they're going to bring to the programs, what's sort of unique about them, and so on and so forth. So if you look like everyone else in the applicant pool, you're going to find applying to business school extremely competitive. To the extent that you can carve out your niche and sort of highlight who you are as an individual and so on and so forth, and therefore what you can contribute to these programs, then that would be very good. And I think this person does some pretty interesting things outside of work, Graham, in terms of they're member of on a couple of boards, two separate NGOs. Their investment banking is sort of related to the mining industries. And it looks like their NGO work is also related to sort of supporting folks that are disrupted by the mining industry. So I think that's quite good, right? So to the extent that they can continue that, maybe ratchet up their experience with those NGOs, I think that would be very good. GPA 3.99, you have to wonder what they did wrong, not to get the 4.0, but... but that might be an interesting story in of itself. But frankly, Graham, I think this person's, you know, potentially, even though, you know, on the surface their profile looks quite sort of standard, I think they can jump over this hurdle and sort of portray themselves somewhat in a somewhat unique fashion, as long as then they apply early and can do that.
Yeah, I will say I like the kind of mining, the kind of finance meets, you know, the mining kind of angle.
Yeah.
And they pointed out that, you know, when it comes to like Toronto, that is the hub of Canadian mining and exploration firms, right? So there would be work to be done in theory there on the finance side, you know, with those firms. So it makes sense. I guess I do agree, you know, whenever you see a, you know, kind of Indian male applying from India, you worry about like GMAT scores, right? Because the schools have high averages and then they're even higher when you look at the Indian males that get in because they're an overrepresented group. But I agree with you. GPA is almost perfect. I will say Holt is not, you know, going to Holt for undergraduate is not viewed in the same way as going to like Michigan or Penn. Penn Wharton for undergrad, right? Holt's a little bit of a newcomer. It's kind of a different approach to education. I believe that, you know, you spend time in different parts of the world. So it's sort of a newer program that I know some of the business schools have kind of looked at it a little bit skeptically. But still, this person did it exceedingly well, right? So it kind of erases any doubt when someone has like perfect grades, or at least it, you know, it doesn't open that door as much. So I think they're probably okay. I do agree that... I mean, gosh, if this person felt like they could get a 750 or, you know, even better on the GMAT, that might open some very different doors. And I it'd be great to hear from this person about whether they're interested in, you know, even any of the U.S. schools, right? Because there are some very high-ranked U.S. schools that could probably help them with an investment banking career kind of anywhere in the world, really, right? So, but with that said, as you and I chatted before we kind of came on air to record, the one school I thought was missing here, at least on the surface for me, was LBS, right?
Yeah.
So if this person's thinking about London post-MBA and is thinking about banking, I sort of wondered why they weren't on the list. And if the only reason this candidate has is because, oh, I didn't think I would get in, then I would take issue with that and ask that they, you know, maybe at least consider applying there. And, you know, because you never know. And they have kind of an interesting profile and it'd be a good, you know, a great school to attend, right? And that's not to say that Cambridge and Oxford aren't great too, but I think any of the three, if they really want to be in London, they should have them all on their radar.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
So anything else on this one? I wish them the best of luck. Appreciate they gave us a ton of info, which is always helpful when we're having these conversations.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do think this candidate has some great opportunity. Hopefully good execution on the application, showing that sort of individual sort of, you know, in terms of who they are.
Yeah.
Highlighting and maybe getting a little bit more involved in the NGOs to the extent that they can over the next several months. And yeah, I think it's good advice to look at LBS and maybe one or two from the US, like Cornell or Stern or somewhere like that. Sort of, you know, you're looking in that range, I think, in terms of competitiveness here.
Right.
So yeah, why not?
Yeah, and actually that reminds me, you know, I was thinking Cornell is not so far from Toronto and,
no.
You know, Ivy League school, really strong in finance. So that might be one to put on the radar for this candidate.
Ivy League school, really strong in finance and cold in the winter.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly. All right. So let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number three. So this is a decision wire entry and the candidate is undecided. They were admitted to Harvard, Kellogg with $40,000, Stanford, UCLA Anderson with $147,000, and Wharton with $163,000 scholarship. They applied, that's actually the exact list of schools to which they applied. So they you know, got in everywhere. They're going to be starting this fall. They want to work in consulting after business school, at least initially. They're interested in media and entertainment as well. For the longer term, GMAT score was 710, GPA was 3.6, and they said the money at Wharton is really hard to turn down, but it feels harder to turn down Harvard or Stanford. They said they're interested in media and entertainment, but they've yet to decide if they go for it, if they go for media and entertainment focused consulting / MBB, so McKinsey, Bain, BCG, or go directly into a kind of media and entertainment corporate development job. And they want help on deciding between Harvard and Stanford. And so I'll leave it there. I mean, this is, I will say, it's so rare to see someone get the hat trick or run the trilogy here with Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton admits. And, you know, it's pretty amazing that they've got what amounts to a free ride at Wharton. I will say Harvard and Stanford there's no scholarship listed here because the scholarships at those two schools are need-based.
Right.
And so candidates don't typically know what it's going to be. They have to fill out a bunch of paperwork about their personal finances, and then they get an award amount, which is usually generous. I don't think, you know, unless this person is really poor, you know, doesn't have any money, my guess is that they won't get as much as Wharton's giving them from Harvard and Stanford. But, you know, they would get something, I presume. So what do you think? I mean, this person wants to be, you know, maybe MBB consulting and then meet in entertainment. What do you think? Where should they go?
Yeah, this is what you might call your classic first world problem, right? It's choosing between these schools. But first of all, congratulations to this person. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. You know, after going through the rigors of the application process and obviously the career to date, sort of setting yourself up for these decisions. I mean, this person clearly is outstanding individual. And yeah, I mean, if they chose to go to Harvard, they'd never look back. If they chose to go to Stanford, they'd never look back. And I think if they chose to go to Wharton offer for full ride, they'd never look back.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know someone that went to Wharton, right, Graham, who had an opportunity to go to Harvard. So yeah, you can have some empathy for this person, right? If they did choose to take the Wharton offer, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I was in that position and you know, there were a whole host of reasons that I've sometimes mentioned, I think, on the podcast here. But yeah, that does happen. People do go to Wharton who got into Stanford or Harvard. I didn't have a free ride at Wharton. That would have made it even easier for me to make the decision I made. But yeah, I understand what this person's saying. I do think that media and entertainment is actually pretty good at Wharton. So I was, you know, I had a lot of classmates and still see people going off into that sector. So I did start to think long and hard about, like, you know, if we're just talking about the educational value, like, I think there's no difference between the three schools. They all offer an incredible education. In fact, I would argue that Wharton might be at the more rigorous end. I mean, it's hard to say, right? And it depends on the style, and they're all different.
Yeah.
But Wharton's definitely a rigorous. You couldn't say that by going to Wharton, you're going to not get as good of an education. So it really comes down to the network. And it is true, on Decision Wire, we've seen year after year, it's really rare that someone walks away from Harvard or Stanford to go anywhere. I get this person's, you know, feeling about that. And I also think, Stanford has this sort of gorgeous campus on the West Coast and very, you know, close proximity to a lot of the media and entertainment industry. Harvard obviously has, a dedicated campus just for their business school and a ton of prestige. So I get what's, you know, that it's tough to walk away from either of those. I don't know if I have an answer for this person. I mean, I guess it's tricky. I think that the Harvard network is broader, and actually even the Wharton network, they're both broader than the Stanford network, just because of the number of kids that go into each school each year and the size of their, you know, alumni database, right? So there are more Harvard and Wharton kids out there than there are Stanford grads, but I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yeah, there's something pretty compelling when you could say, yeah, I went to Stanford.
Yeah, I know.
People stop.
Right.
Listen.
Yeah.
Boom. Same as, you know, I went to Harvard. My point being, I mean, yeah, I understand the size of the network argument, but yeah, Stanford is super, super compelling too. The reason why I chose this one, Graham, was not because we're going to be very prescriptive and give this person the answer. I don't think there is any right answer. We've got a number of folks in the community that have all weighed in, and they have basically seemed to say it's between Harvard and Stanford, and I completely understand that.
Sure.
From the applicant community, and these folks are some of them are making the same decision and choices. So I just think it's a good illustration of how this community is sort of supporting each other and helping sort of each other make these decisions when they don't have the opportunity to do it as directly as they would in a more traditional year, when they can go to these admit events and really kick the tires,
yeah,
and really get a better sense of what each of these different programs will provide them. Obviously, schools are doing a few things to sort of help replicate that online, but hopefully, again, DecisionWire can
absolutely
be another one of their platforms to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really think, let's assume that this candidate has ruled out Wharton, and they're really just focused on the other two. I think one of the users on the site, an applicant, mentioned fit, and I really think that's what this has to come down to, because as great as Wharton, Harvard, and Stanford are, they're all really different from one another. And so, you know, I mean, Harvard is, it's sort of like, it's run with kind of military efficiency, right? Everyone's taking the same classes throughout the entire first year. You're all reading the same cases. And so there's this incredibly intense clockwork-esque way to the thing, you know, to things running on campus there. Stanford, you know, and I think, you know, on some levels you could say, oh, well, you know, Harvard's a, you know, an Ivy League, East Coast kind of, you know, environment. Stanford is out on the West Coast, startup world, et cetera, right? So the two atmospheres are really different. And I think it plays out in the teaching style and the approach to the curricula as well. So I would argue that, Stanford's smaller. This person needs to think about those things, because you're going to spend 2 years wherever you go and, you know, forge friendships that last a lifetime. And you know, they're two really different environments. But I agree, it's been great to see all the comments come in on the site from those, you know, kind of dealing with similar issues or just offering their point of view. So yeah, congrats to this person. It's obviously a great dilemma to be facing.
Yeah, no, absolutely brilliant.
So that brings us to the end of this episode, I think. Alex, thanks for picking out the three entries that we discussed. I suspect that in the weeks ahead, we're going to have a lot of DecisionWire entries, because I see them pouring in on DecisionWire. So there's going to be a lot to talk about in terms of helping people decide and weigh the right, you know, kind of factors as they try to make choices. And again, as you pointed out a couple times in this episode, we really hope that DecisionWire can be a good tool for those of you who are shut out from attending, you know, in-person events this year. And we recognize that's not easy. So anything else, Alex, or we'll kind of wish everyone good health here, and we'll see everyone next week.
Yeah, no, just everyone stay safe and best of luck.
Yeah, thanks. And best of luck to everyone that's still kind of waiting on a decision or, you know, trying to decide where to go, and stay tuned. We'll be back next week with more Wiretaps.